Well, this morning, I want us to look, as we're looking at Spiritual Awakening 2018, I will remind you again, what does that mean? As many have asked me, what do people mean by a spiritual awakening or that spiritual walk? It simply means that you and I connect spiritually with God. That's what spiritual awakening is. It's not any tricks that you're going to have to do. It's none of that stuff. A spiritual awakening is when we wake up and realize that God, through Christ, has made a way for us to communicate with Him. And yes, He talks back. I've never heard God's voice audibly, but I guarantee you I hear Him in my heart. I guarantee you He lets me know when I'm going in the wrong direction. Out of all those years as prison chaplain, all of those years, the warning I would get inside of myself when I'm getting ready to go, I was in with the criminally insane, and getting ready to go into the wrong unit, there was always that certain feeling that would come over me. And here's something I decided, even then in my young years, if God ain't going, I ain't going. If I get that feeling, I'm not walking back there. I walked back there a couple of times. I didn't do that again. Because you see, God says, I'm going to watch each step. Larry, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. There will never be a time when you said yes to me. Never be a time that I will ever leave you. Now, what happens? We deal with life. And life is hard to deal with. We deal with what is real as far as we can see it. But what God is saying, the spiritual connection with me will show you what is truly real. Because everything you're looking at, Larry, is going to be gone. All the things that you see are going to be destroyed. Except for what you see looking at me. I'm going to show you a new world. I'm going to walk with you on your new life. You're going to stumble. You're going to fall. Well, sometime you might even fall right down there in that ditch of life. You might get down there where it's all messy and all hell has broken loose. And Jesus said, I don't care if you get down there, I'm coming. And when I come, I'm bringing you out. That's the Savior that I worship. That's the Savior that made a promise. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And He said, get connected, Larry. But get connected with me. For it is through Christ and that spiritual awakening that you and I will ever, ever be able to relate to spiritual faith. Spiritual faith. Now let me tell you, faith is not you thinking something up in your head. That's not it. Faith is not when you're saying, okay, I can have all the discipline in the world and I'm going to do this because I read this right here in God's Word. Well, let me warn you. You're going to hit a rock wall. Spiritual awakening is God says, I'm telling you to run, Larry, right towards that wall. And through faith and that spiritual connection, I take off running. My job to take off running, His job to make a hole by the time I get there. So if I am not listening to God, guess what's going to happen when I get to that wall? Don't tempt the Lord thy God. But He said, connect with me. There's not a battle that you'll ever find in your life that God does not always and is always willing to show you that He's already won it for you. Well, I've got to go fight this. No, you don't. All God's ever asked us to do is show up. He said, I want you to show up, Larry. Lord, what do you want me to do when I get there? I want you to watch me work. How many battles have you tried to win on your own? Tell me how that ended up. How many new pages in your life have you decided to flip over yourself? And then tell me how many volumes of those failure books you have on your shelves. The Lord said, I want a spiritual awakening. I'm here to give it to you. And with that spiritual awakening, I will give you that spiritual faith. So therefore, it's not my faith. Does not faith come from God? Isn't that what the Bible says? Amen. Does not everything and every hope that you and I have come directly from God? So why am I going to get all pious and cocky? Like, oh, I got a closer walk with Jesus than you do. No, you don't. I know Jesus. And I can tell you right now, this preacher don't walk any closer to Jesus than any other Christian. And none of us are too hot at it. But Jesus is walking with us. He knows about life. He knows the brokenness. He knows the hurts. He lived them. So that you and I could be victors. And he says, I want you to come alive spiritually. James 2 verse 26. James, the half-brother to Jesus. As the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without deeds is dead. Or faith without works is dead. Or faith without action is dead. There's about 15 different English words on that, but it all deals with doing something. So, the body without the spirit, remember the first message of the year? Talking about how God animated us with his spirit. The body was just dead. The body did not work. It just lay in there. You know, some of us, I believe, have forgotten that we are animated because our bodies are still just laying there. That's okay for people my age, sitting in our chairs, watching what we're watching, moving our belly back and forth with a remote control. That's okay. We've earned that right. But it ain't okay with our faith. It's not okay with our walk with Christ. It is not okay for me not to love. Not okay. And God said, here's what I want you to do. That spiritual faith I'm going to give you, that spiritual faith is going to look down to the depth of who you are, and that spiritual faith is going to bring you out. Bring me out of what? Any place. Remember, God said, Moses, I want you to go in and I want you to get my children. I want you to lead them out of bondage. But then God told Moses, here's what I want you to do though, Moses. Now you got to pay attention to this. There is not a scripture in the Old Testament that does not point to Jesus Christ. Do you hear me? It all points to the day of grace that you and I are living in. And it says, here's what I want you to do. Moses knew Jesus. Jesus told everybody he knew him. So Moses knew Jesus. So what does he do? Listen to this. Hebrews 11, 26, Paul's telling to the church. By faith, speaking of Moses, he kept the Passover. God said, okay, Moses, I'm going to lead them out. What does Pharaoh say? Pharaoh said, I want the firstborn of the Hebrew nation to be slaughtered. First male child, all of them to be slaughtered. God tells Moses in advance, Moses, this is what's going to happen. And here's what I want you to do. I want you, Moses, to stand strong. But I don't want you out here fighting them. I want you to take the blood of the Lamb and to sprinkle it on the doorpost. I want you to throw on the blood. And the Lord said, Moses, for all the Hebrew nation, I want you to know, when I see the blood, When I see the blood, death will pass over you. It's all in the blood. What blood? Whose blood? Jesus. He's coming. Moses said, he's coming. I am going to proclaim the Passover meal, which was of the bitter herbs and spices. Remember that he, or bitter herb, that bread that he's eating, because they didn't have time. Huh. Think about it. The Lord's Supper and the Passover meal, the blood, the bread representing the body. You with me? Okay. And he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. So now let me listen what happened. That's that blood. That's that blood that covers Tula. That's that blood that covers every one of us, every Christian. It's that blood. Listen to the power. So that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel, saved by the blood of a lamb. It was lamb's blood put on, representing the ultimate Messiah's blood that would be shed in the day of grace, the scripture calls it. You and I are living in the day of grace. Aren't you so thankful for that? Full mercy, full grace, and we still act like idiots. God said, I'm going to bless you with my love. I will give you eternal life. Okay, well now, preacher, you're a Baptist, and you said once you're saved, you're always saved. So I can go out and just do anything I want to. I never said that. Try it and see what happens. I never said that. It goes to this. God says, I love you. And when he says, I love you, that love, when you love someone, don't you want to do what is right for them? Don't you want to give from your heart? Don't you want to care about what is going on in their life when you love someone? And God says, okay, Larry, if you love me, here's what I'm going to do. If you will follow me, I'm going to keep you out of all this mess. So why don't I follow him? Everything about God's love is given to me. The power. You listen to me, Larry. Plead the blood. When you and I are Christian, when we stand before Almighty God, you will not be able to plead your works, but you will plead the blood. Lord, I stand before you today because of the blood of Jesus. Well, it don't get better than that, folks. Jesus' blood, I'm paid for. I belong to him. Do you really believe that even Satan's dumb enough to think that he can take me out of my Father's hand when I said yes to him? Not going to happen. That brings us out. That blood, right out of bondage. It's that spiritual faith. Not something I've worked up, but something that is real. That is the faith of Jesus Christ through every Christian. But I don't understand that. Good, because if you think you understand it, you got a problem. Do you understand why God loves us enough to even save us? He sent his own son to die for us. He saved me knowing all the dumb things I was going to do after I got saved. And he saved me anyway. You tell me that's not love? But it does not give me a license to go off a whoring into the world and doing my own thing. You know what it does give me a license to do? Love someone else. To care enough to reach out. Now you all know how I am with children. I've seen so many children mistreated for so long. And I know I've broken down and cried in here several times. And as a Marine, you know, you're not supposed to do that. As a Christian, Jesus, well, I can tell you right now, you and I are no better. But when you see enough hell going on, enough hurt, enough pain, and you're wanting to make a difference, and you don't know what to do, I weep. Because I love people, but I love your children more than I love you. Adults, we know better. Our children, they need our protection. Spiritual faith takes us through, brings us out, and it takes us through. Now listen, God said, okay, Moses, I want you to get over here, and I want you to know that at one point I'm going to send you to the Red Sea, and you take the people there, and I want you to walk on over. Now, if Moses was into his own thinking, do you really think that he thought that was a good plan? He was still shook up when he got there. What was that battle? The same battle that goes on inside of you and inside of me. Because I'm 100% human. But I know that that part of me that lives eternal is spiritual. So the common sense part kicks up. The common sense comes on and said, Larry, you cannot walk on water. Are you really going to be foolish enough to walk across the Red Sea? Well, I am on dry ground. You see, the faith was in the God that told him to go. The same God that said, Moses, you tell him about my son that's coming. You sprinkle that blood. And I'll be at the sea. I'll be at the battle. I'll be at the front of your life, and all hell will not prevail over you. I like that. Following Jesus. That's why we need to follow him in love. Because you and I are going to mess it up. Agreed? We're going to mess it up. Listen. By faith in Hebrews 11:29, the people, Hebrew nation, passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. Huh. Okay, pretty good trick. Nothing about God. Do you remember who it was that created all of this? Who's in charge of it? Do you remember the God? That's the God of Abraham. That's the God of Isaac and Jacob and Moses and all the prophets that followed him. That's the God that was at the birth of his son in Bethlehem of Judea. That's the God who does not change. You can't change his love for me. Let me tell you how bad Larry really is. God said, I don't want to hear it because I see my son. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. I remember when there was a big battle over this, gosh, 30, 40 years ago, I guess, and they said, well, it was only really 2 feet deep, so, you know, it wasn't any big trouble for them to walk on a cross. And then I figured out, you know, I wasn't very bright in those days, but I figured if it's only 2 feet deep and we walked across it, how did 2 foot of water drown all the Egyptians and their horses and their chariots? When God says they walk across on dry ground, it's dry. When God says that I closed the water, he closed it. Look back to Noah and the ark. Noah, despite what you're seeing on the movies and TV, Noah did not shut the door to the ark. The scripture says, and God shut the door. And later we're to find out in what God, when God has shut the door, no man will enter. You got that? So God says, I want you to have that spiritual faith. Because it is this spiritual faith that's going to take you through. And I want you to know that. God says, I'm not only going to save you, I'm going to take you through. Did he not tell us that he is the author and the finisher of our faith? Is he not? He didn't say, okay, Larry, I turn it over to you. I want you to finish. You know why? He knows I'm going to mess it up. We'll either get too cocky or we'll just sort of sit soaking sour on life. Well, nothing I can do. There never was anything you could do. That was never the commandment. It has always been, stand back and watch me. It's always been that in Scripture. And God said, I want you to show up for the battle, but I want you to watch me. My job is to show up. My job is not to fight it. It's already been won. You read the last book, would you please? I read the book. Jesus wins. You win. All Christians win. Now, it's a win-win for me. If I live, I win. If I die, I win-win. You all just going to be jealous because you're going to say, "Oh, how come he gets to go first, Lord?" You see, I really believe that with all my heart. Because death can never come to the believer. Death can never come to the believer. Pain? No. When its body gets through with all the poison and garbage that's in it, it gone. Don't you see now why that the body has to go back to the dust? God going to remake us a glorified body just like he did his son. That's for traveling through all of his creations. Interesting. Keep reading the scripture because he says, in all the ages to come after our age, we get to be with him. Woo! With a body that's not hurting. You could praise the Lord for that one, right, folks? All day long. Absolutely. Okay, the last one. Spiritual faith brings us in. Now, it is really odd, or it is to a lot of people, when you're looking at the genealogy in Scripture, you're reading all of these, he who begot who and all of this, and you get all bored in that. Don't get so bored. Do you realize there is not a personality in the genealogy of Jesus Christ that will fit your personality? Your personality is in there somewhere, because I can tell you what the word would be said today. Are they blue bloods? They are anything but blue bloods or any other kind of blood. The genealogy of Jesus is made up of thieves and murderers and all manner of evil individuals. Well, what happened? Moses goes on to be with the Lord, turns it all over to Joshua. God says, "Joshua, I want you to send 2 spies in this time." Sending 12, only 2 out of that 12 told the truth. Remember, Joshua was one of them. Caleb was the other. They had the faith to then. 40 years later, here he is. Joshua's in charge. He says, send 2 spies. 2 spies go. They're listening. And yet, they're about ready to get caught. So they go to the house of a prostitute. And her name is Rahab. Classified in Scripture, Rahab the harlot. The prostitute. Rahab, the scripture says, was a believer. Meaning, she believed that the Spirit of God was in the Hebrew nation. She believed. Yeah, well, her actions were more actions of a Baptist than any other Christian. She was hiding it all. She wasn't hiding it. Everybody knew where her house was. But God chose her. Why? Well, let's look. Hebrews 11:30. By faith, the walls of Jericho. Now listen. It's going across into to Jericho. You have to remember this. Jericho, the battle of Jericho, God said that you did not win with the sword this battle. Remember that? Where they walked around the wall 7 days straight, and then they were all going to blow the trumpets and shout with a loud voice. They said, Gideon, you did not do that. The walls of Jericho, by faith the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. What was that all about? Well, Rahab the harlot asked the spies, or told them, will you protect my people? I will hide you. And they said, if you hide us and protect us, which showed her faith in God, then nothing will happen to you or your family, but you must, hear me, you must gather them in. You hear that, church? You must gather them in. So when the battle starts, not one of your family members will be harmed. Amazing, isn't it? It's Rahab, the harlot. Here's a name that you all might remember. Any of you who studied the Bible a lot remember the name Boaz and Ruth? Remember that? Did you know that Boaz happens to be the son of Rahab the harlot? Think of it. And God just intertwined. It was always by that spiritual faith she was brought out. God said, okay, Joshua, walk around seven times. Now, does that make sense to anybody? Any of us veterans, does it make sense? If we're given orders, I want you to walk around the city seven times. And then I want everybody to shout and watch the walls come tumbling down. You know exactly what we're going to be thinking. In my day, it was the M14s. Let's have them at the ready, Lord. Just in case you change your mind. God does not change His mind. What was He looking for? He was looking for faith. Will you walk around seven times? See, Joshua had to learn a lot in that 40 years. He watched God wipe out 20,000 of the non-believers with one earthquake. So he marched, and the walls came tumbling down. What happened to Joshua? Later on, Joshua got cocky. Does it happen to us? Well, look what I've done. And then God comes back at him and said, oh, by the way, Joshua, you did not do that. Then God tells him, I sent the hornet. That's right, the little stinging bug, flying dude that all of us run from. I sent the hornet to drive them out first. You did not raise your sword. Joshua got beat out by a bug, a hornet. You tell me that God can't use any of His creation? Read the book. It's called the Bible. And in that Bible, we learn a spiritual awakening is going to equal for you and me a spiritual faith. And it is that spiritual faith that will see us through, trusting God. Hey, that does not mean that me as a human being, that I'm not going to get scared. It does not mean that as all hell comes at you and you're standing there. Folks, it doesn't mean that I'm not going to shake and tremble. It doesn't mean that I'm not going to freeze up. It doesn't mean that I'm not going to start weeping or wondering. It means God says, when you get in that shape, Larry, go anyway. Go anyway. And as soon as you take that first step that you think is going to be your death, watch the walls of the world come crumbling down. See the faith that God has given you unfold in your presence. Watch as God continues to do mighty miracles in your life. Watch as the one who called us to victory gives us that victory. That's spiritual awakening. That's spiritual faith. That's, Lord, I don't understand. Oh, I'm nervous. I'm shaky. So, here goes. I remember when I walked the aisle at an 8-year-old to accept Christ. I remember that feeling of stepping out in that aisle. Now, at 8 years old, I was by myself. There was no adult with me. At 8 years old, I step out of that pew, and it's just like you're locking up. You know, maybe I can go out the back door and go to the bathroom anywhere, but down there. But I remember taking that first step. And you know, it's just like I was floating the rest of the way. All it took was that first step. I had a ride. When I leave this world, I got a ride waiting for me. I'm just waiting for that ride. But now I got a ministry to complete first. God called me to preach His word, His truth, His love, His faith, His awakening. You and I need to be getting about our Father's business. Because one day, He's going to say, "That's it." Now listen, when God says, "That's it," that's it. Where the tree falls, there shall it lie. When I said yes to Jesus, that sealed my fate, my hope in Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You. Thank You for Your love, for Your word, for Your truth, for all, Heavenly Father, that You give us. But Father, have mercy on us. Just help us to realize how flawing we are, but remind us, Father, of how loving You are. Touch our lives with inspiration, Your inspiration. Lift us up with Your strength, that we through Your strength might reach out to those who cannot defend themselves, those who are weak and worn. Oh, help us, Father, not only to stand for them, but to be able to deliver them through Your power. Let Your will, Father, be done in our life, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.